This is the Texas Standard. I'm Emily Donahue, in for host David Brown. President Obama delivered his final State of the Union address this week, and yet still, there are those in this country who would argue that he was never eligible to be president. These so-called birther arguments are now haunting GOP presidential hopeful Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada to an American mother and a Cuban father. Cruz says it's a non-issue, but one particularly outspoken opponent disagrees.
It's wrong to say it is a settled matter, because it's absolutely not. It's not a settled matter. That means that, you know, a lot of people think you have to be born here.
That was Donald Trump at a campaign stop in New Hampshire, and it's pretty much a sure bet this will come up again at tonight's GOP debate. So what's the truth here? The Constitution says the president must be a, quote, natural-born citizen. Last month, Texas A&M law professor Lynn Rambo explained it to us this way.
I think Senator Cruz has the better hand on that, because a natural-born citizen, while it can't be ascertained with certainty, as it was used at the time of the Constitution, included a person who was born on foreign soil who was the offspring of a U.S. citizen, like Senator Cruz is.
Well, we thought that settled it. But hold on a second, says Mary Bridget McManaman. She's a professor of law at Widener University's Delaware School of Law. Professor, thank you for speaking to The Standard.
My pleasure.
So what is a natural-born citizen, according to the U.S. Constitution?
The U.S. Constitution, the Supreme Court directs us to interpret the Constitution when it has a common law term by looking to the common law. And the common law makes it very clear that a natural-born citizen is one born within the territory of the United States.
So clearly, Ted Cruz, if he was born in Canada, does not meet that standard.
That's correct.
But surely this is an area, like a lot of constitutional areas, of disagreement among scholars?
Yes, but I would maintain that the other scholars, I'm talking about 20th and 21st century pieces, the scholars haven't really done their homework and misunderstand many of the older English cases.
So can you help me out with a little bit of that?
Yes. The common law in England, which is what we adopted here, is very clear that you had to be born within the territory of the Crown of England. And if you were born outside of the territory, you had to go through a naturalization process, and it was very expensive and very time-consuming. In the 17th century, Parliament provided in a couple of cases for children who were born abroad to English parents that they could be naturalized without the expense, so they got a free, although time-consuming, naturalization process. Okay, that's the common law. But in the 18th century, the Parliament passed a couple of statutes that just said, oh, if you're born abroad, you are already a natural-born subject. So the question is, when the framers of our Constitution used the phrase natural-born citizen, were they talking about the common law, which meant even if your parents were English, you still had to be naturalized, or were they talking about these very radical 18th-century statutes? When you read the American writings on the subject, including James Madison, Congressional Debates, famous treatise writers, it's very clear that they were not adopting the British statutory provision, but rather the common law. Therefore, people to be natural-born American citizens had to be born within the United States.
Okay, so who has the final say of whether Senator Ted Cruz from Texas can or cannot be president? I mean, besides voters.
Yeah, presumably the Supreme Court, right? I mean, the Supreme Court from Marbury versus Madison is the ultimate decider of what the Constitution means.
Would this be significant enough to go to the Supreme Court before the election?
Well, that depends on if somebody sues. Say the Secretary of State of a particular state refused to allow his name on the ballot, he or his campaign could then bring a declaratory judgment action. I would imagine under those circumstances, the Supreme Court would use expedited review, which, it does. For example, in Bush versus Gore, the Supreme Court heard the case in a matter of weeks. In addition, I suppose, although I'm not an expert on this, one of Cruz's opponents might have standing to be able to sue to prevent him from being on the ballot.
You know, for a long time, Senator Cruz seems to have been successful saying this isn't an issue. What changed?
Right. Well, I guess I wrote an article on this some time ago, but I suspect that what brought it to national attention was, of course, Donald Trump's raising the issue all over again.
Mary Bridget McManaman is a law professor at Widener University's Delaware School of Law. Thank you so much for speaking with The Standard today.
You're welcome. Thank you.